made the observation yesterday that, wittingly or not, psychology and related mental health approaches to life have created this impression that there are ways to control every situation. There are ways to influence people to do the right thing. There are ways to influence people to act cooperatively. And you just need to know the words to say. You just need to know the approach, the technique, if you will, the psychological method. Now, of course, this is false. It's very difficult to maneuver people against their will. And if they don't want to act differently, or if they don't have the insight to see that how they're acting is not good, I don't care how slick you are. Now, that could be true for you amateurs out there. But I, as a trained psychological professional, am obviously much more skilled at taking control of a situation. And furthermore, I'm much more skilled at it when children are involved. Let me give you an example. Some years ago, many years ago now, and it was either many years ago or it was last week, I'm not sure, I was playing softball. Little five-year-old kid, looked to be about five, came up with a ball bat and started taking practice swings at the back of my legs. I am allergic to wood. At that time, it was wood. Shows you how long ago I was playing softball. Allergic to wood colliding with my body at 40 miles an hour. I break out in these big red wells. My doctor says it's not good for you. Not good for you. Your body reacts to getting hit with a ball bat. So I looked at this little guy, dodged the next swing, and I said, hey, damn it. Now, I am a trained professional. Damn it. Those are the words that I immediately used. I digressed. I devolved, if you will, from all of my years of training into street lingo. Knock it off, kid. My friends were there. And they observed this. And they immediately began. This guy's a shrink. A specialist in the area of children. Can it? Knock it off. Sure want him dealing with my kid. Well, I had to show them that this is no rinky-dink shrink we're dealing with. I immediately left, ran to my car. In my car, in my trunk, I keep my Psych 605 textbook. Now, this is a big, thick tome, huge, monstrous tome regarding children. Big, thick things you get in college, you know, have all the known situations in them in the whole world regarding children. And you can look them up. And I looked up five-year-olds with baseball bats, and they give you this big list of things to say. I wasn't going to take any chances. I was going to say them all. I got to redeem myself here. So I went back, bent down, you know, like the veterinarians tell you, don't tower over a wild animal. Let him smell your hand, you know. I don't like being hit with a ball bat. Little expression of feelings now. I'm not comfortable with where your bat is coming from. I can't go with that. Using I messages, not you messages. But I'll tell you what. Now, I put my hand on his shoulder because I wanted my verbal and my nonverbal cues to be in sync. I don't want to send mixed messages to confuse the little tyke. I've got a ball. Put the bat down. I'll play some catch with you. I put him on an informal contingency contract. Variable ratio schedule. Maximum response effectiveness, according to the research. I also said, if you swing at me, I'll just walk away. A little reality therapy. Natural consequences. You swing, no game, no trigger, no fun. Well, this kid was not going to know psychologically what hit him. He was putty in my hand. Took control of the situation. The only thing I can figure out, he did not read my Psych 605 textbook. Because after I was done with my little mini speech, he looked at me and said, "Why don't you stuff it, jerk face?" I should have stuck with knock it off. But I learned something. Don't grade your technique after one try. I don't care how good you think it is. I don't care how good the words you use are. How sensitive, how feeling, how nurturant, how thoughtful, how logical, how compelling, how coherent they are. I don't care how empathic your reflection of feelings. I don't care how many stickers you use. If there is a kid in that chain, you've entered two elements. You have entered the element of unpredictability. You don't know how they're going to react. As I say, they don't read your Psych 605 textbook. And you have also entered the element of time. Inordinate amounts of time. When you say discipline isn't working, I tried that. It doesn't work. Much of the time what you're really saying is, it has not changed the behavior as quickly as I thought it would or as I hoped it would. Your discipline pretty much works the instant you do it. You teach a lesson. If you do A, I will do B. Or, if you prefer speaking naturally, if you do A, B will happen. Will that change the child's conduct? That's a whole variable altogether. I don't know. It all depends how long it takes the kid to get it. That if you do A, B is going to happen. Some kids get it in one time. Other kids need 6 years. It all depends. Some of you go to confession. Some of you go to confession regularly. I have a question for you. When you speak to the priest, pretty much, do you make up different sins each time? You have to come up with different sins of your makeup? Or is it safe to say there's a bit of repetition in some of the sins you've been confessing for the last, 35 years? I don't get it. You have been getting disciplined for some of these sins for 35 years. When you do wrong things, people give you bad reactions. You get natural consequence. If I lose my temper in a game, I get kicked out of the game. It's natural consequence. People give you feedback. Your conscience bothers you. You feel guilty. You feel terrible. Now, you've been getting disciplined for some of this stuff for 35 years. Why are you still doing it? I would have thought God would have said to you, how long is this going to take? When are you going to get the idea here? We expect a kid, after 3 days of sitting on the steps going to the corner, Mother, I've just been so blind. Of course, I see what you're saying. That's why you're the grown-up, and I'm the child. It's also clear to me now. It's registered. Thank you. Let's sing Kumbaya around the campfire. How come we get impatient with how long it takes them, but we have bumper stickers that say things like, be patient with me, God's not through with me yet. Hey, how come we're allowed 30, 40, 50 years to learn our lessons? But if this kid doesn't get this in 4 weeks, what's going on here, huh? Got a little problem with his learning, don't you think? So, even I, as a professionally trained psychologist, have learned, sometimes, no matter how well you handle a situation, it may or may not improve. But that doesn't mean you didn't handle it well. How many of you have had the experience of apologizing to someone because you knew that you needed to apologize? You knew that in the interaction between you and the other person, in the event, a proportion of the blame was with you. Maybe it was only 3%. You know, most spouses think that's about all the blame they have when they have an altercation with their spouse. I'll apologize for the 3% that I'm wrong. But you apologize for whatever your role was. In most altercations, at some point, we all have something to apologize for, even if it's minimal, even if we didn't start it, even if it was just a reaction, even if it was impulsive, even if it was emotional, we can all apologize for something. Rarely is somebody not at least a little bit wrong in dealing with a situation that got ugly. And so you apologize. And how many of you have had the situation blow up in your face? If you were really sorry, you wouldn't do it. I'm sorry is not going to make it right. You think you can just say, I'm sorry, and it'll all be better? And you walk away thinking, I made it worse by apologizing. I shouldn't have apologized. It just made it worse. No! You did the right thing. You apologized. Because it didn't work out doesn't mean you didn't do the right thing. That's such a great misconception. You handled the situation well. You did the right thing. Now, whether it'll work out or not is another story, because there's a person in that chain. I play ball. The other night, we were in the playoffs. Men on second and third. We're up three runs. Their number three hitter comes up. Now, this guy had put the ball out twice already, and every time he hit it hard. Now, I talked to our second baseman, who I greatly respect, and we decided, let's walk him. Put him on first, pitch to the next guy. We pitched to the next guy the whole night, and this guy did not have home run power. Not really. Not like the third guy. So we pitched to him, figuring, okay, this is our best move. This other guy could put a home run out and tie the game up. So we pitched to him. He hit a single. Threw the hole at short. Scored two runs. They got a couple more singles after that, and then one guy hit a grand slam. We ended up losing the game. Did we make the wrong move? Well, it didn't work out. It's probably still the right move. Just didn't work out.